Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a pastor in Utah, my family and I would usually attend the annual Fall Church Workers Conference in Breckenridge, Colorado. The LCMS Rocky Mountain District had a contract with Beaver Run Ski Resort, and since our boys were in parochial school, they also had that week off since their teachers would also attend that conference. So it made for a nice getaway for us. One year we had asked Janet's parents, Gert and Mel, who were living in Greeley, Colorado, to come and spend a day or two with us up in the mountains. We thought it would be a nice, relaxing fall break in a place that we normally wouldn't be able to afford. But when Janet's folks arrived on Tuesday, it was clear that something was seriously wrong with her mom. She had absolutely no energy. The least amount of exertion caused her shortness of breath. And when Janet took her pulse, her heart was racing at about 140 to 160 beats per minute continuously. And that's when Gert told us that this had been going on for about 3 weeks, and the altitude probably made it worse. So we called her doctor in Greeley, got her an appointment, and they left early the next morning. Well, obviously, Janet and I were concerned, and so we decided that we would also go to Greeley. Janet knew how serious this could be, and she was concerned not only for her mom, but for her dad. And we made arrangements for our two oldest boys to get home with friends, and then we took Lucas off, took Lucas with us, and we headed off to Greeley. When Janet's mom saw the doctor, they tried, but they couldn't get her heart rate down to its normal rate, what it should normally be, in his office, and so she was taken to the ER. And later that evening, they performed a procedure that finally brought her heart back into regular rhythm, and she was admitted into the hospital. Now, over the next couple of days, we put together a number of meals for her dad, put them in the freezer. I needed to get back to work, and Lucas needed to get back to school, so the three of us headed back to Utah. Even though we weren't sure what might be next for her mom, we realized there was probably not much we could do while she was in the hospital. So the plan was for Janet to fly back to Colorado to be with her parents, and then we would just kind of play it by ear, see how things went. But in a fairly short period of time, her mom went from not being able to even have much of a conversation with us because of the least exertion took all of her strength, to pretty much being back to her old self. Getting on the proper medication, taking a significant amount of fluid out of her system, allowed her to return home really in just a couple of days. Now, I didn't tell you that story to give you a peek into my mother-in-law's medical history. And I didn't know that she was going to be here this morning. So, if my face is red... But the reason I told that story is because I believe it was an appropriate illustration for our Old Testament reading. For Ezekiel and the rest of the Israelites, a situation that was grave and frightening one moment became a situation filled with hope and confidence the next. Most of you probably don't realize this, but there were actually a couple of deportations of exiles from Judah to Babylon. And Ezekiel would have been part of that first deportation when one of the kings rebelled against Babylon. Against Babylon. He was probably about 25 years old at the time. And as the son of a priest, he would have been training to follow in his father's footsteps. It was about 5 years before he would have begun serving in the temple. That means that he would have been in Babylon for about 10 years, far from home, when he received the news that Jerusalem had fallen. Now he would never be a priest, a man respected by his nation, serving in Solomon's great temple because it had been reduced to ashes. And now most of the inhabitants of Judah were either killed or taken into slavery. It must have seemed to Ezekiel that his whole world was gone. As we've heard over the past number of weeks, all of this happened because of the disobedience and rejection of God by the Israelites. Psalm 37 gives us a sense of how despondent those exiles felt. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? It must have seemed hopeless. But God had a plan. Ezekiel wasn't there in Babylon by some strange twist of fate. God hadn't lost track of him. Rather, Ezekiel says in chapter 1, "As I was among the exiles by the Chebar River, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God." And perhaps his darkest hour, when all hope seemed gone, God came and gave him a word of comfort and a reason for hope. And more importantly, gave him a message he needed to share with his people. It was one of those visions that was read today in our Old Testament reading. God gave Ezekiel a vision of a seemingly hopeless situation. Now, if God had shown Ezekiel sick and dying people, while gruesome, there may have been a glimmer of hope. Some might be healed, some might actually survive. But this valley was filled with piles of dismembered, dried up bones. That was the picture of God's people. They had once been a living and vital nation. But by choosing to chase after other gods, their hopes and dreams had been reduced to rubble. The consequences of choosing to walk away from the God of life was destruction and death. In that vision, God asked Israel, I'll paraphrase it just a little bit, "What do you think, Israel?" Or Ezekiel, "What do you think, Ezekiel? Is this truly a hopeless situation? Can these bones live again?" And Ezekiel very wisely said, "Lord, only you know the answer to that." And God did know the answer. At God's command, Ezekiel spoke to those bones and they were revived, restored, and rose up as a great army of God, demonstrating that in him there is always hope. That prophetic vision was fulfilled after being in captivity for 70 years, God returned his people to their homeland. Against all odds, their hopeless situation of captivity and death became one of freedom, life, and a new beginning. But that vision is much more than just a picture of what God would do for the Israelites. It doesn't just speak of the power of God to restore his people to a physical homeland. It points to the power of God to restore life, not only for them, but for all people. You see, that's the connection between our Old Testament reading, that vision, and our gospel reading this morning. Some 500 years after the events of Ezekiel, Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. Everyone assumed that this was the end of the story. Jesus' enemies were delighted, but his disciples were despondent. Everything they had believed about Jesus appeared to be wrong. But then came Easter morning, and the words of that angel, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." And those disciples on their way to Emmaus experienced this as well, but in a slightly different way. They were miserable because the one they believed was the Messiah had been killed, but everything changed when they were reminded of God's promises about the Messiah and then recognized Jesus. Out of despair came hope. Jesus' resurrection changed everything. And not just for a few, but for many, for all who believe. I don't know about you, but this political season has been about, it's probably been one of the most troubling I've ever experienced. Depending on who you listen to, if either presidential candidate is elected, our country is going to fall apart. Our country has grown more and more divided, and many people are fearfully wondering what the future is going to bring. I don't have any idea what's going to happen. But I, for one, refuse to give in to despair. You see, I'm a child of the resurrection, a child of hope, and an heir of all of God's promises. And so are you. Christ's resurrection isn't only about giving you hope for the life that is to come someday, long into the future. Christ's resurrection is a promise of hope for today and for every day. You are a child of the resurrection, and that changes everything. You have a God who brings dead, dry bones back to life. You have a God who brings assurance and certainty to any situation that you may face. Your hope in Christ and the promise of God's presence in your daily life gives you the ability to face every day with confidence and courage, because you have the confidence that all things are in the hands of a God who has promised to provide everything you need. Not necessarily everything you want, but everything you need. In a past presidential debate, I don't remember which one. I don't listen to them all. I didn't listen this last week, in fact. At least part of it. I don't remember which one. Anyway, the final question asked of the candidates was something like this. What don't you know, and how will you learn it? I think that's a pretty good question to ask somebody. Rather strange. But I know how I can answer that question. What don't you know? You don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us do. But what do you know? You know who holds tomorrow. Your God is waiting for you in every tomorrow you will face from now until that day you're with Him in eternity. And knowing that makes all the difference in the world. The God who holds tomorrow has shown Himself to be faithful in all of your yesterdays. That's why we can trust and believe that whatever tomorrow brings, we don't face it alone. God gives us hope in a doctor's office and a hospital room when a loved one is sick and we don't know what to do. He gives us confidence in the face of political and social upheaval when it appears that everything around us is about to burn to the ground. But no matter what the situation may be, God promises that ultimately it's going to be okay, because He has a firm grip on today and all the tomorrows you will ever wake up to. That promise gives you strength when your strength is gone, when you feel like your bones are withered and dry. You have strength because you are a child of the God who gives you life and resurrection through His Son. And that fact, my brothers and sisters, that fact changes everything. Amen.